So we sit joyous as the morning ray, which fed upon the wrecks of night and storm, now lingering on the winds. Light airs did play among the dewy weeds. The sun was warm, and we sate, linked in the inwoven charm of converse and caresses sweet and deep, speechless caresses, talk that might disarm time, though he wield the darts of death and sleep, and those thrice mortal barbs in his own poison steep. I told her of my sufferings and my madness, and how, awakened from that dreamy mood by liberty's uprise, the strength of gladness came to my spirit in my solitude. All that now I was, while tears pursued each other down her fair and listening cheek, fast as the thoughts which fed them, like a flood from sunbright dales. And when I ceased to speak, her accents soft and sweet, the pausing air did wake. She told me a strange tale of strange endurance, like broken memories of many a heart woven into one, to which no firm assurance, so wild were they, could her own faith impart. She said that not a tear did dare to start from the swollen brain, and that her thoughts were firm when from all mortal hope she did depart, borne by those slaves across the ocean's term, and that she reached the port without one fear infirm. One was she among many there, the thralls of the cold tyrant's cruel lust, and they laughed mournfully in those polluted halls. But she was calm and sad, musing alway on loftiest enterprise, till on a day the tyrant heard her singing to her lute a wild and sad and spirit-thrilling lay, like winds that die in wastes. One moment mute the evil thoughts it made, which did his breast pollute. Even when he saw her wondrous loveliness, one moment to great nature's sacred power he bent, and he was no longer passionless. But when he bade her to his secret bower be born a loveless victim, and she tore her locks in agony, and her words of flame and mightier looks availed not, then he bore again his load of slavery and became a king, a heartless beast, a pageant, and a name. She told me what a loathsome agony is that when selfishness mocks love's delight. Foul, as in a dream's most fearful imagery, to dally with the mowing dead. That night, all torture, fear, or horror made seem light, which the soul dreams or knows. And when the day shone on her awful frenzy, from the sight where, like a spirit in fleshly chains, she lay, struggling, aghast and pale, the tyrant fled away. Her madness was a beam of light, a power which dawned through the rent soul, and words it gave, gestures and looks, such as in whirlwinds bore, which might not be withstood, whence none could save. All who approached their sphere, like some calm wave vexed into whirlpools by the chasms beneath, and sympathy made each attendant slave fearless and free, and they began to breathe deep curses, like the voice of flames far underneath. The king felt pale upon his noonday throne. At night two slaves he to her chamber sent. One was a green and wrinkled eunuch, grown from human shape into an instrument of all things ill, distorted, bowed, and bent. The other was a wretch, from infancy made dumb by poison, who naught knew or meant but to obey. From the fire isles came he, a diver lean and strong, of Oman's coral sea. They bore her to a bark, and the swift stroke of silent rowers clove the blue moonlight seas, until upon their path the morning broke. They anchored then, where, be there calm or breeze, the gloomiest of the drear Symplegades shakes with the sleepless surge. The Ethiop there wound his long arms around her, and with knees like iron clasped her feet, and plunged with her among the closing waves, out of the boundless air. Swift as an eagle stooping from the plain of morning light into some shadowy wood, he plunged through the green silence of the main, through many a cavern which the eternal flood had scooped, as dark lairs with its monster brood, and among mighty shapes which fled in wonder, and among mightier shadows which pursued his heels, he wound, until the dark rocks under he touched a golden chain. A sound arose like thunder, a stunning clang of massive bolts redoubling beneath the deep, a burst of waters driven as from the roots of the sea, raging and bubbling. And in that roof of crags, a space was riven through which there shone the emerald beams of heaven, shot through the lines of many waves inwoven, like sunlight through which acacia woods at even, through which his way, the diver having cloven, passed like a spark sent up out of a burning oven. And then, she said, he laid me in a cave above the waters, and by that chasm of sea, a fountain round and vast, in which the wave, imprisoned, boiled and leaped perpetually, down which, one moment resting, he did flee, winning the adverse depth, that spacious cell, like an hoopatric temple, wide and high, whose airy dome is inaccessible, was pierced with one round cleft through which the sunbeams fell. Below, the fountain's brink was richly paven with the deep's wealth, coral and pearl, and sand like spangling gold, and purple shells engraven with mystic legends by no mortal hand. Left there, when thronging to the moon's command, the gathering waves rent the Hesperian gate of mountains, and on such bright floor did stand columns and shapes like statues, and the state of kingless thrones which earth did in her heart create. The fiend of madness which had made its prey of my poor heart was lulled to sleep a while. There was an interval of many a day, and a sea eagle brought me food the while, whose nest was built in that untrodden isle, and who to be the jailer had been taught of that strange dungeon. As a friend whose smile, like light and rest at morn, and even as sought that wild bird, was to me, till madness misery brought. The misery of a madness slow and creeping, which made the earth seem fire, the sea seem air, and the white clouds of noon, which oft were sleeping in the blue heaven so beautiful and fair, like hosts of ghastly shadows hovering there, and the sea eagle looked a fiend who bore thy mangled limbs for food. Thus all things were transformed into the agony which I wore, even as a poisoned robe around my bosom's core. Again, I knew the day and night fast fleeing, the eagle and the fountain and the air. Another frenzy came. There seemed a being within me. A strange load my heart did bear, as if some living thing had made its lair, even in the fountains of my life. A long and wondrous vision wrought from my despair, then grew, like sweet reality among dim visionary woes. An unreposing throng. Methought I was about to be a mother. Month after month went by, and still I dreamed that we should soon be all to one another, I and my child. And still new pulses seemed to beat beside my heart, and still I deemed there was a babe within. And when the rain of winter through the rifted cavern streamed, methought, after a lapse of lingering pain, I saw that lovely shape which near my heart had lain. It was a babe, beautiful from its birth. It was like thee, dear love. Its eyes were thine, its brow, its lips, and so upon the earth it laid its fingers, as now rest on mine, thine own beloved. 'Twas a dream divine. Even to remember how it fled, how swift, how utterly, might make the heart repine, though 'twas a dream. Then Sintha did uplift her looks on mine, as if some doubt she sought to shift. a doubt which would not flee, a tenderness of questioning grief, a source of thronging tears, which, having passed, as one whom sobs oppress, she spoke. Yes, in the wilderness of years, her memory, I, like a green home, appears. She sucked her fill, even at this breast, sweet love, for many months. I had no mortal fears. Methought I felt her lips and breath approve. It was a human thing which to my bosom clove. I watched the dawn of her first smiles, and soon when zenith stars were trembling on the wave, or when the beams of the invisible moon or sun from many a prison within the cave their gem-born shadows to the water grave, her looks would hunt them, and with an outspread hand from the swift lights which might that fountain pave, she would mark one and laugh. When that command slighting, it lingered there and could not understand. Methought her looks began to talk with me, and no articulate sounds, but something sweet her lips would frame. So sweet it could not be that it was meaningless. Her touch would meet mine, and our pulses calmly flow and beat in response while we slept. And on a day when I was happiest in that strange retreat, with heaps of golden shells, we two did play. Both infants, weaving wings for time's perpetual way. Ere night, methought, her waning eyes were grown weary with joy, and tired with our delight. We, on the earth, like sister twins, lay down on one fair mother's bosom. From that night she fled, like those illusions clear and bright, which dwell in lakes. When the red moon on high paws ere it wakens tempest, and her flight, though 'twas the death of brainless fantasy, yet smote my lonesome heart more than all misery. It seemed that in the dreary night the diver who brought me thither came again and bore my child away. I saw the waters quiver, while he so swiftly sunk as one before. Then morning came, it shone even as of yore, but I was changed, the very life was gone out of my heart. I wasted more and more, day after day, and sitting there alone, vexed the constant waves of my perpetual moan. I was no longer mad, and yet methought my breasts were swollen and changed. In every vein the blood stood still one moment, while that thought was passing. With a gush of sickening pain it ebbed even to its withered springs again. When my wan eyes in stern resolve I turned from that most strange delusion, which would fain have waked the dream for which my spirit yearned with more than human love. then left it unreturned. So, now my reason was restored to me. I struggled with that dream, which, like a beast most fierce and beauteous, in my memory had made its lair, and on my heart did feast. But all that cave and all its shapes, possessed by thoughts which could not fade, renewed each one. Some smile, some look, some gesture which had blessed me heretofore. I, sitting there alone, vexed the inconstant waves of my perpetual moan. Time passed. I know not whether months or years, for day nor night, nor change of seasons made its note, but thoughts and unavailing tears. And I became at last, even as a shade, a smoke, a cloud on which the winds have preyed, till it be thin as air, until one even a nautilus upon the fountain played, spreading its azure sail where breath of heaven descended not, among the waves and whirlpools driven. And when the eagle came, that lovely thing, oaring with rosy feet its silver boat, fled near me as for shelter on slow wing. The eagle, hovering o'er his prey, did float, but when he saw that I with fear did note his purpose, proffering my own food to him, the eager plumes subsided on his throat. He came where that bright child of sea did swim, and o'er it cast in peace his shadow broad and dim. This wakened me. It gave me human strength and hope. I know not whence or wherefore rose, but I resumed my ancient powers at length. My spirit felt again like one of those like thine, whose fate it is to make the woes of humankind their prey. What was this cave? Its deep foundation no firm purpose knows, immutable, resistless, strong to save. Like mind, while yet it marks the all-devouring grave. And where was Lion? Might my heart be dead, while that far drearer heart could move and be? Or whilst over the earth the pall was spread, which I had worn to rend, I might be free, could I but win that friendly bird to me, to bring me ropes. And long in vain I sought, by intercourse of mutual imagery of objects, if such aid he could be taught. But fruit and flowers and boughs, yet never ropes he brought. We live in our own world, and mine was made from glorious fantasies of hope departed. Aye, we are darkened with their floating shade, or cast a luster on them. Time imparted such power to me. I became fearless-hearted. My iron voice grew firm. Calm was my mind, and piercing like the morn, now it had darted its luster on all hidden things, behind yon dim and fading clouds which load the weary wind. My mind became the book through which I grew wise in all human wisdom, and its cave, which like a mine I rifled through and through, to me the keeping of its secrets gave. One mind, the type of all, the moveless wave whose calm reflects all moving things that are. Necessity, and love, and life, the grave, and sympathy, fountains of hope and fear, justice, and truth, and time, and the world's natural sphere. And on the sand would I make signs to range these woofs, as they were woven of my thought. Clear, elemental shapes, whose smallest change a subtler language within language wrought. The key of truths which once were dimly taught in old Cretona, and sweet melodies of love in that lorn solitude I caught from mine own voice in dream. When thy dear eyes shone through my sleep, and did that utterance harmonize, thy songs were winds whereon I fled at will, as in a winged chariot, o'er the plain of crystal youth, and thou wert there to fill my heart with joy. And there we sate again on the gray margin of the glimmering main, happy as then, but wiser far, for we smiled on the flowery grave in which were lain fear, faith, and slavery. And mankind was free, equal, and pure, and wise in wisdom's prophecy. For to my will my fancies were as slaves to do their sweet and subtile ministries. And oft from that bright fountain's shadowy waves they would make human throngs gather and rise to combat with my overflowing eyes. And voice made deep with passion, thus I grew familiar with the shock and the surprise and war of earthly minds, from which I drew the power which has been mine to frame their thoughts anew. And thus my prison was the populous earth, where I saw, even as misery dreams of morn before the east has given its glory birth, religion's pomp made desolate by the scorn of wisdom's faintest smile, and thrones upturned, and dwellings of mild people interspersed with undivided fields of ripening corn, and love made free. A hope which we have nursed, even with our blood and tears, until its glory burst. All is not lost. There is some recompense for hope whose fountain can be thus profound, even throned evil's splendid impotence, girt by its hell of power, the secret sound of hymns to truth and freedom, the dread bound of life and death, passed fearlessly and well, dungeons wherein the high resolve is found, racks which degraded woman's greatness tell, and what may else be good and irresistible. Such are the thoughts which, like the fires that flare in storm-encompassed isles, we cherish yet, in this dark ruin, such were mine and even there, as in its sleep some odorous violet, while yet its leaves where mighty dews are wet, breathes in prophetic dreams of day's uprise. Or, as air Cynthian frost in air has met, spring's messengers descending from the skies, the buds foreknew their life, this hope must ever rise. So years had passed, when sudden earthquake rent the depth of ocean, and the cavern cracked with sound, as if the world's wide continent had fallen in universal ruin racked, and through the cleft streamed in one cataract the stifling waters. When I woke, the flood whose banded waves that crystal cave had sacked was ebbing round me, and my bright abode before me yawned, a chasm desert and bare and broad. Above me was the sky, beneath the sea. I stood upon a point of shattered stone, and heard loose rocks rushing tumultuously, with splash and shock, into the deep. Anon all ceased, and there was silence wide and lone. I felt that I was free. The ocean spray quivered beneath my feet, the broad heaven shone around, and in my hair the winds did play, lingering as they pursued their unimpeded way. My spirit moved upon the sea like wind, which round some thymy cape will lag and hover, though it can wake the still cloud and unbind the strength of tempest. Day was almost over, when through the fading light I could discover a ship approaching. Its white sails were fed with the north wind, its moving shade did cover the twilight deep. The mariners in dread cast anchor when they saw new rocks around them spread. And when they saw one sitting on a crag, they sent a boat to me. The sailors rowed in awe through many a new and fearful jag of overhanging rock, through which there flowed the foam of streams that cannot make abode. They came and questioned me, but when they heard my voice, they became silent, and they stood and moved as men in whom new love had stirred deep thoughts. So to the ship we passed without a word,